We were discussing four things that make what's called Lam Rim. Okay, if you don't know what Lam Rim is, you should learn it. Okay, it's probably the only two words in Tibetan that are pronounceable. Lam means path, Rim means step or stage of the path. Okay, what do you call it? Marga, Krama, steps of a path. So we're this 10-year exercise that we've undertaken, and we're done with 1 year, I think, is that we will go through one of the greatest books on the Lam Rim. And I told you, but I'll say again, I was having lunch with some people a couple of years ago, and we went around the table and everybody said what they thought was the greatest book in the world. And it was important for the people at the table because they were all book lovers. And I said, for me, Namdo Lakchang, this book, you know, it's the greatest book ever written, ever. So it's a complete presentation. They've taken all of the teachings of the enlightened beings, 200,000 scriptures, and put it into one book, you know. All the steps are in one book. So putting it in that framework of all the instructions that someone would need to get enlightened, no matter where they were at, you see? It's because the cool thing about the Lam Rim is that it can be entered at three different levels in your spiritual career. You see, there are stages that are meant for beginning capacity, and there are stages meant for middle capacity, and there are stages meant for higher capacity. So the cool thing about the Lam Rim, which is not even true of Tantra, and it's not even true of great books on emptiness like the one we're going to study, what, tomorrow? Or, I don't know, Monday? I don't remember. But, you see, those books are not accessible to all levels. And the Lam Rim is accessible to everybody. And it's all-inclusive. It has all the teachings of Buddhism in it, you see? So, once you have studied the Lam Rim, and once you've practiced the Lam Rim, then you can appreciate that there's no contradiction in the entire body of Buddhist teachings. Because you can read a tantra like Guhya Samaja, or you can read Vajrayogini, right? Or Chakrasambhara, and you don't get the foundation stuff there in those texts. And then you might pick up a book on the foundation things, and then you'd think these two books are contradictory, right? So the beauty of this comprehensive presentation is that you understand how the whole body of the teachings of the Buddha flow. Because Buddha's an enlightened being, right? Buddha can perceive all three times at the same time. The Buddha can see everything that ever was, everything that ever will be, and everything that is now at the same time. So it's hard for them to relate to us, right? And it's hard for them to make a presentation that's comprehensible to a person who's stuck in the present moment. You see? So it's you have to appreciate that everything they taught is, it flows together. Everything they taught is totally compatible with everything else they taught. And you can only do that, you can only recognize that in a text which includes all the Buddhist teachings. You see what I mean? If you just took a tantra, and then you just took a book on monks' vows, you might think there was some contradiction. If you study the Lam Rim, if you study this teaching, then you see how keeping your morality flows into the higher teachings. of the secret teachings. You see what I mean? And so in one text you have everything from the most foundational things to the highest teachings. And then because that's all in one book, you can come to an understanding that there's no internal contradiction in all the teachings of the Buddha. Okay? So that's how we resolved he gave an example of two possible contradictions yesterday. One was between monks' vows and secret teachings. And then we saw that keeping your morality, for example, about other people's relationships, not harming other people's relationships, or not engaging in sexual misconduct, would actually give you the inner power to practice the higher teachings, which are practiced using the male and female energies. So you can't say that they are contradictory. To keep your morality is what empowers you to do the higher teachings. What was the other example he gave? The Hinayana and the Mahayana, the lesser way and the greater way. So it might seem that if you picked up the Abhidharma Kosha, which teaches the lower way, and it tells you just concentrate on your own meditations, you don't have to worry too much about other people. Go to a cave and meditate, right? And then you picked up something like Master Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, which said, you know, go to a cave so you can help other people and so you can become someone who can be of help to all people. That should be why you go to a cave. And then you have to go help other people. Then if you just took those two books by themselves and tried to reconcile them, you might have a problem. Okay. If you read the Lam Rim first, if someone trains you in the Lam Rim first, then you see that one is a foundation for the other. You see, I will go to a cave so that I can serve others, you see, so that I can help the world. Okay? So we resolved that contradiction. Then I promised you an example, and here we go. This is a medical example, okay? Perna means, for example, tsawe ne trapo. Let's take the case of a person who has a very severe fever, okay? Like a, what's a good fever, Dr. Mora? I don't know. Typhoid, I don't know. Something where you get very hot. Like a serious one. Okay, encephalitis. All right. So the patient has an extreme fever, dangerously high fever. Shigla membe dambo shadan chanso pangu. Then a responsible physician would tell them during the height of the fever, as the fever rises, they would tell them under no circumstances should you take meat or alcohol. Okay, you should avoid meat or alcohol, animal proteins and alcohol. Mipangna soglo do sheten, and the doctor will tell the patient, if you don't give up meat and alcohol, you risk your life. You're actually risking your life. Okay. Jesu tsawe ringtang tsamsa lebne. Jesu means, have you got it up there? Yeah, good. You may have noticed that some Tibetan words are not pronounced. Like we don't say, I know you are going to the store, right? Okay? But you can figure it out. Jesu tsawe ritang tsamsu lepne. This is a difficult expression, okay? Jesu means later on. Tsawa means the fever. Lep means once it has arrived at the tsam. What's a tsam mean? Yeah, tsam means a border, normally a retreat border, right? Or it could mean a retreat border. Ritang tsam means ritang. Do you guys know who Lang Ritangba is? Lang Ritangba? Sound familiar? Dorje Senge Langri Tamba. Yeah, he wrote the eight verses. He wrote the Lojong. He was called Langri Tangba. Langri is a mountain. Tang means the plains. Tangri means the place between the mountain and the plains. So he's now, it's a common medical term also, meaning that the patient has reached the place where the fever will start to break. The fever has run its course, and it's reached a balancing point where the height of the fever is gone, and now it will start to break. So it's the breaking point of the fever, okay? Meaning the place between the mountain and the plain. Okay? Tsamsa lemne. Nongshe chewar. In that point, there will be a high concentration of the wind element within the patient's body. She chawar chungdu. Sha chang so deng gupar. When you've got a patient who has a very excessive lung, right? Excessive wind element. According to a trained professional's, evaluation of the person, it might be necessary to prescribe meat or alcohol. Okay? In that case, the person's all like this, and you say, eat a hamburger. It'll bring you down, you know? And it might be necessary for a physician to actually prescribe alcohol or meat, okay? Gopa mawana, mayo nepa chik. Keep in mind that the patient is only one patient. Mawapo memba chik. And the physician is only one physician. We're not talking about competing physicians or two patients. We're talking one patient and one physician. Shachang samisa, samisa. Samisa means first he tells him to eat it and then he tells him not to eat it, right? Take it or don't take it. Okay. Kecha ngating means what he said in the first place and then what he talked about later. You know, like when you're accusing somebody of contradicting themselves, you say, what you said in the first place and then what you said later. Kecha ngating. Nipo de gelwatar nang. Gelwatar nang. Okay. What's nang mean? It means to appear, right? Appearance. So gelwatar nang means it might appear that the physician is contradicting themselves. Okay, first they say take it, then they say don't take it. Okay, it might appear that the physician is contradicting themselves. Mukyang means but we all know. Okay, we all know mukyang. Dundu nepachik sawala nika gopa. Dundu means but the actual case that what do you call them? The fact of the matter is that the patient needs two contradicting treatments at two different stages in their treatment. Okay? Kecha gopa mingawa shindu. So they're not contradictory for the doctor. Who's the doctor? The Buddha. Okay? And at different stages in a person's spiritual career, they might tell them one thing and then they might tell them the opposite later. Okay? Tepa che chungdang. Dongaso, dujaso so chele, chele, kasak chi sangyawe nyamlan du tsang, tsangma, migo nyam du yunayang. So the Buddha, chedu means according to the personal needs of different disciples, okay? The Buddha spoke different teachings. Kasak chi, but all of them, taken as a whole, represent stages that any one person can follow to reach enlightenment. Okay, the whole body of teachings taken as a whole, similar to the whole, what do you call it? What's that big book that has all the medicines in it? The who? No, there's a pharmacology. Anyway, the whole book of medicines is useful. It's all one big happy thing. It's just that if you give the wrong one at the wrong time, you kill the person. It's not that it's a bad medicine, okay? There's times when you're supposed to use it according to the person's needs, and there's times when you absolutely shouldn't use it. But it's all one big book of medicine. Pharmacopoeia. Yeah, okay, the old word. Okay. Detar mimbar sumbapo chiki kansa chik tsangyawe nyamlandu sumbate. So keep in mind that when a lama or the Buddha teaches a disciple, they are a single person talking to a single disciple, but they might have to say contradicting things at different times in the disciple's career. Okay. 대양 개보 중등기급 라 토마틱 맹기데는 네 셰퍼 미타. So when a person is beginning their spiritual career, you know, in the foundational years, or if they need more support, or they need more foundation, then we should teach them things from the Hinayana, from the lower way. For example, mitapa. What's mitapa? You're not going to live forever, okay? Everything about your life is in motion. Everything about your life is in constant flux. All things you take for granted this year are going to change by next year, and sometimes radically. Even your country, okay? Like you are accustomed to living in a very influential and wealthy country, and that is changing, and that will undergo a great change in the coming years, and you have to realize that that's the way things go, you know. That's foundation level, you know. Don't assume that. I mean, there's no productivity here anymore. The banking is gone. Wall Street's gone. GM is gone. The space program is gone. There's no great innovation here. The people who could do the innovation haven't been trained. They haven't been educated. There's not enough education to support any new creativity here. So it's not going. We're just kind of standing on the shoulders of someone who went before, and the people alive now in this country aren't doing much. They're just kind of hanging out, and things will change. And other people who are more, have more drive and work harder, which is most of the rest of the world, will rise. And then, so even your country is impermanent. Your lifestyle is impermanent, okay? And your freedom is impermanent, okay? All right. Mitak. Dunya la sopa gomba dang. And hard things could come. Dele chungse tra tu songna. Once a person has come to appreciate how fragile their life and their situation is, right? Their privileges. Then you can move them on to higher capacity, right? And you can talk about helping to create a world where no one is at risk and there are no places of poverty and there are no places of, what do you call it? Like regimes that are hurting their people, right? Like you can, what do you call it? Oppression, yeah. So you can start to have a larger vision of what the world could be once you appreciate the fragility of your own life, okay? Because the rest of the world has already been there for a while, right? Most of the rest of the world, I don't know, 2 out of 5 people on the planet are seriously underfed, okay? So, once you understand the fragility of your own life, you can go on to try to work for a world where no one is in want, right? Okay, chambuk samketam, chimdu, and then you can teach people the 6 activities of a bodhisattva, the 6 perfections. So, techengi dunini shepa namdang, the teachings of the greater way. Naki nerdu gyune. It's a nice tune, but okay. And once you see a person is ne means a worthy vessel for the higher teachings, the secret teachings. People ask me all week, can I listen to the secret teachings you're doing this week online? Don't ask me that. The answer is the same as it was 15 years ago again. That should be passed on person to person. If you're too busy to come to that, then you shouldn't get it anyway. Okay. Dorje Tepane, Shepe Rimni, Chepa Danchepa. And then you're ready to study the two stages of the secret teachings. Okay? Kirim and Dzogrim. Okay? Chepa Danchepa Sok, Rimshin, Rangni Tabu Khansa, Chik Tsangyawe Nyamlandu, Shitunba Yin. So all of those teachings are Shitun. What's Shitun? One thing which can embody two features, right? It's not impossible for it to be. It's my hotspot when the wireless doesn't work here in my waiting room there, and it's also a phone. So those are shitun. It's one object which can be both, no problem. Okay. So a path to enlightenment can be what? It can be the teachings on the impermanence of your situation. It can be the teachings on love for all living beings. It can be the teachings on suffering. It can be the teachings on the secret way, right? Both levels. All things fit into what we call the teachings. And if you study the Lamrim, then you see the flow. And if you don't study Lamrim and you just study the secret teachings or you just study the lower Abhidharma, you won't see how it all ties together, okay? How it's all one big Okay, all right. So then we can say that all the teachings of the Galwa, okay? Galwa means Jina, victorious one, okay? Meaning? You should know something about scripture, okay? When they refer to the Buddha as the victor, right? The victorious one. Then it's generic. It means all the thousands of Buddhas, all the millions of Buddhas, okay? So the teachings of the Buddha, okay? When they say Gyalwe Tenpa. Namgitso, they all can be summarized in Lamso Namsun. What's that? The three principal paths, okay? Anyone who says the three principles of the path should get hanged and stripped of their skin. No, I mean it's terrible. It's an extraordinary mistranslation of the title, and I think almost everyone does it. But anyway, it's three main paths. It's not three principles of one path. Each one is a path. Okay, namsa namsa. All the Buddhist teachings can be summarized in a small genre of literature called the three principal path. Okay. There is not a single practice that you can find in this 1,000 pages which is unnecessary for a person's enlightenment. Okay? None of them are extra or superfluous. Okay? They are all powerful. Okay? Now he's going to go off on a defense. The subject we're on is what? Why the teachings are not internally inconsistent. Why there's no contradiction in the teachings, okay? So that's his main subject. But now he's kind of going off on why you should appreciate all the teachings. Okay? Like maybe you don't need the Hinayana right now. You know? Maybe you are advanced. You know? Maybe you don't need to think about the fact that your country might collapse next year and have armies walking across it. Okay? Like maybe you're beyond that. But still you should study those ideas. Still you should master those ideas. Still you should appreciate those ideas and you should learn them. Why? Chanju Sempa Namgi Shedin Kitso. The main thing that bodhisattvas claim that they are out to do is to help all living creatures, right? We're all supposed to be bodhisattvas, right? And their main duty, or their main, what do you call it? Shedin means what they've agreed to do, or their stated mission. In life, okay, their mission, yeah, is to help every living being. Shenin so was sanjangi denze pa yin la. De la dulja rikjen sum la ran ran ki tarpa drupi lam dun gu. if your mission is to help all living creatures, then you should have a big toolkit, okay? Like, I don't know, Jared gave me a big belt, a real carpenter's belt. I can't wear it because it pulls my pants down because I don't have any butt. But anyway, sometimes I hold it up. But you know, there's room for like 18 different tools there. And if you're a good carpenter, you don't go to a job without the tools, because you're going to have to get in the car and go to Home Depot and spend half the money you're making on the job. You get your tools ready before you go, because you don't know what's going to be the situation when you get there, right? You might have to repaint the wall after you mess it up. You better take some painting tools. You know what I mean? You should have every possible tool that you might use. If you're Shaydin, if your stated mission, declared mission, that's good, declared. If your declared mission is to go out and save every living being, then you better know a lot of different tricks for getting enlightened, even if you personally don't need them. Okay? Even if they're not something that you personally need, you should learn a lot of spiritual methods that might be necessary for someone who you're teaching or someone who you are guiding. So you should have a big, selection of spiritual methods in your repertoire, okay? Big recipe book, because you never know what they might want to eat, okay? You don't want to have just like a Mexican cooking or just French cooking, or okay? You should have a couple books with you, or a bunch of books with you, okay? Dugoshin. Deyang, Ranki Mashe Parshanatam Barminute. Look, if you don't know those methods, then how are you going to teach them to other people, right? So you have to at least get very familiar with all the different methods, even if they seem to contradict each other. See, that's how he got into this. Maybe you don't need Hinayana, or maybe you're beyond... you're concentrating on the higher teachings, secret teachings, or something like that. But you must know all the teachings, because you might need to pull them out to help somebody. Okay. Namdele, tapchin de gyu kokyur tang, kokyur pa, deche pa ni kawa yin. Then he quotes a very difficult text, which Nimbo's teaching on Friday, which is called Pramana Vartika, the commentary on valid perception. And it's a treatment of how we perceive things, you know. How does perception work? Why when we look at a thing with four circles, do we see a car? You know, what happens between seeing four circles and thinking car? What is the process? Which also gets into formal logic. You know, how is it that people think? How is it that the mind works? Okay, very beautiful book by Dharmakirti. Okay, Dharma. There's two Kirtis. Everybody gets them mixed up. Don't feel bad. Okay, Dharmakirti is that one. The other one is Chandakirti. He writes about emptiness. I went and got this quotation because I was curious, because it's too short. He only quoted two lines. And I thought I wanted to see the whole thing. So I was very fortunate when I was younger. Geshe Thupten Rinchen is one of my main scripture teachers, and I think he's the greatest scripture teacher in the world, and I've seen many. And then his teacher was Geshe Yeshe Wangchuk, and he did not get out of Tibet. So he was... So he couldn't get out of Tibet. So he was stuck, and he was, he was in prison like many lamas. And then, but in the late 80s, he was allowed to visit India if he came back by a certain date, because he was doing some special teaching in Tibet. He had an official position. He he was allowed to come for a short visit to India. So he came to the monastery, and he brought with him this pile of papers. And he said, you know, while I was in prison, I had time to write a commentary on Dharmakirti, you know, and I snuck it out, you know. And because nobody would do a commentary on Dharmakirti unless they had 20 years in prison or something, because he's so difficult. I mean, no one would even worry about it. So he snuck out these papers, and we printed it. And it's a two-volume commentary. And there hasn't been a commentary like that written in like 500 years. And it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. So I had the honor to edit it and get it ready for publication. So I was going to... So the quotation says, Tapchung de yu kokyo wa kokyo pa de che pa ni kawayin. Tablai chungwe duko gni dang de gyu kun lam ki temba nam koktu kyo pa yin. Yena, tablai chungwe duko, okay? So, this, I'll read you that. This is tough, okay? And I don't know. I enjoy going deeper, okay? So I'm going deeper. Then if it's too much for you, you can think about something else. Tapchung means came from the method. Degyu means that cause. Kokyo, you know, means hidden to normal perceptions, like deep workings of karma. Like why... What's the karma that created the pattern on the carpet right now? You know, what did we all do in the past to see that particular pattern? It's beyond our ken, right? We can't see it. We don't know. There is a cause. There is a karmic cause for the pattern on the carpet. But we don't know. That's kokyur to us, okay? Kokyur. Dechepani, to explain that, kawayin, would be difficult. Okay? So it doesn't make any sense unless you have a commentary. And he wrote, I think, the greatest commentary, which is really cool. For somebody in modern times to write the best commentary on something that's been around for, you know, 1,000, 1,500 years, that's pretty cool. And to know him is pretty cool. He died in a car accident, we think. You know, we got word that we were told he was hurt, he was killed in a car accident. We don't know how, we don't know what really happened, okay? In Tibet. So you'd never know. In those times, you don't know what really happened. So he's saying it refers to two of the Arya truths, okay? It's cool, okay? Two of the Arya truths. Which two are causes and which two are results? Let's start with results, okay? I'll go through the four, okay? We are suffering. There's a reason why we are suffering. There is an end to it, and there's a way to end it, you see? So these two are causes, right? The second and the fourth. And the first and the third are results. Suffering and the end of suffering come from making karma and following the path, right? So Tablai Chua means, he says, it's those things which came from top, those things which came from something other cause. But he doesn't want to say cause. Why? He doesn't want to say gyulechung. But see, he said tablechung. He doesn't want to say that the first truth and the third truth came from a cause. Why? Does suffering come from a cause? Does the end of suffering come from a cause? Anything which comes from a cause is changing and can be lost, can be changed. Is your release from suffering final? If it's not, then it's not a very good free, you know, then liberation is is not so cool. I mean, we kind of like to assume that our liberation will be permanent, right? But anything that has a cause is not permanent. Okay, so it's a little tricky. He's being very subtle. He doesn't want to call it something that comes from a cause. It's very interesting. It comes from certain actions. By the way, the conundrum is solved traditionally by saying the achievement of your liberation has a cause. Achieving liberation has a cause. The liberation, you can't describe it. The body of a Buddha is not described as changing. It's unchanging. So it cannot have had a cause. The reaching of it has a cause, but not the body of an enlightened being. Okay? It's very interesting. Okay. So anyway, Tabchin Degyu Kokyurwa. The reasons why we can achieve the first and third truths are Kokyur, means what? No normal person can see them directly. Okay? They are hidden to normal people's minds. Okay? Are they hidden to our minds? Is the cause of suffering not something we can understand? Can we understand the cause of suffering or not? You can. Can we understand the path to end it? Yeah, you can. Okay? Unless you decided it wasn't worth learning because you didn't need it. You know? Okay, got it? Unless you decided, I'm a tantrika, you know, I don't need to go study Abhidharma. You know, let me just concentrate on Vajrayogini all the time. And I'm beyond that. Okay? I don't need that stuff. That's just philosophy. You know? I'm off on a higher thing now. Okay? And then if you thought that, and then you ignored those foundation, I don't like to call them beginning teachings or lower teachings. I like to call them foundation teaching, right? If you ignore the foundation, then to you, they will be kokyur. Okay? Like, those foundation teachings will be beyond your perception. And then chepa nika, it would be difficult for you to share them with others. Got it? So that's the quotation. Two lines from Dharmakirti, Master Dharmakirti. In the monastery, every year for 3 months, we study Dharmakirti. 3 months of the syllabus in every 12 months is devoted to Dharmakirti. And sometimes we only cover a page in a month. Okay? It's beautiful. And that's when we do the inter-monastic debates. Jangguncha, which is... For 1 month of those 3 months, we compete with other monasteries. So they will bring a team. We rotate among the great monasteries. And so Sarah gets it every third year. And then the other monasteries send teams. And we go all night sometimes. Senpe Damcha means all night. You debate all night. And then you don't cover one page in a month. You know, it's like, he's unbelievable, okay? And so Ningbo's going to teach hundreds of pages on Friday. Okay. Shesung, Dena Chanju Sembe, Tepa Sungi Lamshepe Lamshe, Gyula Kepani, Shenjin Drupe Yena to Nyepa Gupa Dole Kyang. So we haven't had a chance, I haven't had a chance to teach you Prajnaparamita. It takes 12 years in the monastery, okay? The root text is the Abhisamaya Alankara. Mutogyan, the ornament of realizations, written by Maitreya. Okay. Spoken by Maitreya to a Sangha. Okay? And it's the first 12 years of the monastic curriculum. And I have never taught you that. Okay? I put a little bit in course number 2. A few pages, but it's thousands of pages. And I don't know. When we have some time, we can do that. Okay? In the monastery, it takes 12 years. The root text is 70 pages long. It starts out with Nyanta Shiva Tsonam Kunshiniki Nyashi Dunzi Chanjipa Lamshini Chanju Semba Lamshiniki Chitin Dundu Tuba Zepa Kang Kanda Yanda Debe Tuba Nam Nam Kunda Nyatso Di Sumba Nyatu Chanju Sambe Tsokche Chanju Sangekini Lamdila Chaksalo. These are the opening lines of the of the Prajnaparamita. Okay? Mento Gyan. So the main subject of most of that 12 years on 70 pages is Shishe Lamshe Namkin Sam. Say Shishe Lamshe Namkin. Shishe Lamshe Namkin. So Shishe basically, very roughly, means the perception of emptiness by someone on the lower path, in the lower track, okay, on the two lower tracks. Lamshe then means the perception of emptiness by a bodhisattva. And then Namkin, what would be higher than that? The perception of emptiness by an enlightened being. Okay, so then that's the subject of Prajnaparamita. Okay, that's the subject of the lower half of the middle way school. Okay, so is it necessary for us to study Shishe, for example? Is it relevant for us to explore how a person on a lower track perceives emptiness directly and the teachings they get to get there, which are those lower flavors of Mahamudra that you were taught? Is it useful for us to study them? Yeah, I mean, obviously, okay? Even the Buddha said, you should understand these three great levels of spiritual realization. How does a person who's not yet a bodhisattva see emptiness? And how do they train to see emptiness? And what do they think emptiness is, right? And then how does a bodhisattva see emptiness who's not enlightened yet? And then how does an enlightened being perceive emptiness? How do they perceive it, okay? So this is the subject of the entire Prajnaparamita. So to say that it's not useful for me to study the lower schools is, he's trying to say it's ridiculous, you see? You spend 12 years learning the lower schools on, and the whole study is a lower school. Got it? The whole 12 years is a lower school, all right? The whole 12 years spent studying the lower and lower schools is a lower school, okay? And you're telling me it's not necessary, okay? Are you telling me it's contradictory somehow, or that you don't need it, or you don't have to learn it? Okay, got it? He's just saying a bodhisattva should learn everything. Master Shantideva goes further. What does Master Shantideva say? He says, you see somebody broken down on the side of the road and some mechanics leaning over the engine, you stop, you get out, you watch what he does. Okay? You watch what they do. Someone's putting chains on their tires in the snow, stop, watch how they do it. You know, Rinpoche forced me to go down and watch the guy clean the furnace in New Jersey and learn how to take it apart and put it back together, including his Volkswagen. I had to take it apart one day and put it back together, the whole engine. You know? And he said, I want you to know how it works. You see, why? It might help somebody sometime. Okay, you should know everything. You should be interested. Languages also. You know, you go to Guadalajara. I mean, you should on the drive to the retreat, you should learn some Spanish, right? And you never know. You know, it might help somebody someday. Okay? So Master Shantideva makes it bigger. You know, all knowledge is worth having. Maybe it will help someone someday. You could fix somebody's furnace or something. Okay? All right. But it was terribly boring and dirty, and I didn't want to do it. Okay. And then he quotes Lord Buddha. Rabjor. Who's Rabjor? I hate these afternoon classes. Everyone's more sleepy than. Who's Rabjor? Subhuti. Okay. He's the nudnik student in the diamond cutter who keeps asking dumb questions. Okay? And then in Tibet later they decided he was Manjushri, okay? The god of wisdom. He was masquerading as an irritating student, so you never know. Okay. Ramjor Chanchisaman Namkini, Nyanduki Lamkanya Badang, Rang Sangeki Lamkanya Badang, Sangeki Lamkanya Be Lam, Tamje Kepar Chashing. He says to Subhuti, bodhisattvas should master, and in fact, they should develop within them the path which is shared with the lowest levels, okay? They should learn them, and they should actually go through them themselves. You should study all the spiritual methods there are, and you should actually get good at them, even if they're not something that you need personally. Okay, like some people, they're already overwhelmed by the fragility of life, and they don't need someone taking them through a whole training about why their country's going to fall apart next year, you know, and why they're going to be working in a Libyan sweatshop next year. It's too much. They're already nervous, you know. I don't need that, Geshe Michael. I already feel threatened enough by life, you know. Yeah, that's okay. But you should experience each thing that you're going to ever teach somebody. You see what I mean? You should go through it yourself. Take the medicine yourself, even if you don't need it right now, to get good at it. And then you can share it with somebody else. It's like certain kinds of yoga. Like I did Ashtanga for 3 years, okay? It doesn't suit me personally. It makes me angry, okay? And Bikram gives me a terrible headache, like a 3-day headache. Every time I try, I've tried it like 6 times. Last time I was laying down in the parking lot at the Barnes & Nobles, and the guard came and hassled me. I said, "Man, I'm sick." He says, yeah, get out of the parking lot. You know, anyway, but I still thought I should go to the class and see how they do it, because people will ask me, and then I should have experienced it, okay? So, okay. Lam Tanchi Shepachau Shetam. We'll go for another 8 minutes, and I'll give you guys a break. We discussed whether to give you cookies and have you mindless within an hour. And we decided that was probably a good idea. Because after that, the class is over. And so then we'll probably do that. We'll get you hyped up for an hour. Genne kyang. Jola pemba chenam na shinne ki jinne dubdu jepa kang. Kandayana debe tunda nungam kundan na so disum ba nyan du chanju sembe so chek chanju kini yun de la jaksalo. Okay, so he quotes the Abhisamaya Alankara. He quotes some of the famous lines from the Abhisamaya, which state that we should learn the three paths. We should master them, and we should develop them. Okay? Nuna zibakam. Shek sambata. Shayang, topche sangi ki kyun kun se yunden kun den yinbe, te dupi lam te pa chenpo yang kyun girik tata gokching yunden girik tata dupa chepa shi gula. Then he points out that, look, the basic quality, the basic nature of an enlightened being is that they have overcome all obstacles and all problems within their being, within their own being. All faults have been overcome, right? Each fault, like anger, jealousy, competitiveness, desire, they had also 84,000 different flavors of negative thoughts. And so they also had to apply 84,000 different antidotes in their personal spiritual journey. An enlightened being has applied 84,000 antidotes to their own being, right? So if an enlightened being is described as someone who has one by one picked off all their negativities and one by one gained every positive quality, right? De dupe lam tepa chenpo yang. Therefore, the teaching itself must include, and it does include, 84,000 different spiritual methods. Okay? And they're not contradictory, and they're all useful. That's the point. Kin na re selwa dang yunden na re kepa mi chepe sunrab kayang mepe. There is no teaching by the Buddha, by the enlightened beings, which doesn't help to remove some personal fault or help to develop some personal quality. There is no teaching that doesn't help us in some with some part of ourselves. Okay? Maybe. Tamje tepa chembe yanatu nyepa dua deta re. Therefore, we can say that even the foundational teachings, like the Hinayana, are part of the Mahayana. He's pretty radical there. He says, okay? He says, when you think about it, then the Hinayana is part of the Mahayana, because the Mahayana is meant to remove all faults and develop all the high qualities in a person. So all the teachings at every level can be considered part of the higher way. Okay? I think you could go further than that and say that all the teachings the Buddha ever gave are part of Tantra. Okay? You think you could say that? Yeah. Okay, Nipare. Deyan ship to China, Juche Lungi Temba Tamje Gelme de Tope Sultan, Juja Tope Temba Tamje Gelme de Toputsinu Yut Ni Yuching. Okay, we'll go through that and we'll stop. He says, appreciate the fact that within the written scriptures of the Buddhist path, right, there are no two sentences which contradict each other. Okay? The words which are used to express or convey spiritual methods, are none of them are contradictory, right? They are meant to inspire within your mind certain ideas. You are supposed to get, certain ideas are supposed to pop into your head, and you're supposed to get certain realizations. For example, I'll just give one example, okay? If someone's critical to you, if someone criticizes you, right? Then if you have trained properly, the minute they criticize you, the first thing your mind goes to is, you know, yeah, what did I do last week? Who was I critical of last week? A well-trained spiritual person, a well-trained yogi, it doesn't even cross their mind to dislike this person or to be angry at this person. Their immediate reaction is, who did I criticize last week? You know, and they almost ignore this person. You know, this person's like, you're stupid, you know, you can't do anything, you can't sing either. And you're like, who did I say that to? You know, and then like, it kind of, what do you call it, disarms people, the attacker, you know, because you're like, who did I yell at last week, you know? And then they want you to say something, or they want some kind of reaction out of you, and you're like, I'll have to stop yelling, you know? And, okay, so that's just one practical understanding that is conveyed to you by certain scriptures, okay? Or certain teachings, okay? You go to a teaching, somebody says something, or you read a book like Master Shantideva, and it says something, right? And then you mull it over at home, to some gom, right? You hear, you mull it over, and then you meditate, you practice it. So somebody says, hey, you know, the last time your wife criticized you is because you criticized somebody at work, you know? Like somebody says that in a teaching, or you get that out of a scripture, right? Then you get a certain idea comes in your head. What? It's coming from me, you know? I must have done something last week, you know? And then you examine your life and you fix it and you stop yelling at people. You stop being critical because it's not fun to be criticized. So you say, I'm going on a campaign. For 6 months, I'm not going to be critical of anybody. Then I'm just going to shut all these people down. This is the preferred way to get rid of a boss that you don't like. Because it's permanent, okay? They never come back, all right? And I did it, okay? I don't have any bosses. Well, one, but anyway, that's a voluntary boss. So anyway, not only are the scriptures which convey these high spiritual ideas to us internally consistent, but the ideas which pop into our head once we've studied them are perfectly consistent also. Got it? That's his big deal. That's his big point he wants to make, okay? If you study the Lam Rim, you will come to see that none of the hundreds of ideas that the Buddha taught, those scriptures, Tantra, Vinaya, okay? You will realize that none of them are contradictory. They all are one big happy flow, okay? And beyond that, when you start understanding their meaning, those ideas are going to fit into your head like a jigsaw puzzle. and it will make a huge, beautiful picture at the end. Okay? Each little piece, each little idea, concept, will have its place in your mind. And then it will all fill in nicely, and then you'll be enlightened. You see? So not only are the scriptures that we use to express the ideas internally consistent completely, but the ideas themselves, once they get stuck in your head, have a perfect consistency. And they make you a perfectly wise person. And you start to think really perfectly. You know, a person, what would happen if the whole world thought that everybody who was criticizing them was their own fault? I mean, can you imagine a world without argument? A world in which no single person thinks it's useful to argue. Can you imagine such a world? Because that's what would happen. Okay? And that's just one idea. And then all those ideas together are like a big crossword. What do you call it? Jigsaw puzzle. And they all fit perfectly. Okay? I learned last week the Chinese word for jigsaw, but I forgot it already. Anyway. Okay. So we're going to take a break. And do you have any announcements, Becky? Any reason to make them suffer and sit longer? I mean, we shouldn't pass this up. Okay.
We have healthy treats at the bake sale today. Fruit and vegetables. Mmm, delicious. And there's a really big cake with a big rainbow on it. So you can have that too. And then Sri Devi, where are you? Chapman, where are you? Hi. Should we just do a tantric meeting over here? And then yeah, everyone else can go. So if you're a tantric student, please come over here if you're at the meeting last night. Yeah. Tim Muehlhausen, you should come. Ben Galmi, if you're here, you should come. And do you want to talk about the dinner again? Just in case people weren't here yesterday.
In case you weren't here yesterday, today is a very high holiday in the secret teachings of Buddhism, just because of the moon, where the moon's at right now. We were discussing which ceremony we would do today, and then we came up with, let's make dinner for everybody else as a high secret ceremony. So now I'm letting you in on the secret. So don't eat too much at the break, because we've made you a big Mexican dinner. Okay? And we have, I mentioned last night, but the Phoenix red sauce is going up against the Guadalajara red sauce. And I it's actually the Camp Verde red sauce, so I think, I mean, you'll see which is better. All right, have a nice, but stay for dinner if you like after the teaching, okay, right? Huh? Yeah, I'll meet with people during the break if you like. Okay, have a nice break, 10-15 minutes. Okay, here we go. We'll go for another maybe 40 minutes or so. And then you guys get to relax and we have to go prepare your dinner. And then we'll let you know when it's ready. Mundi Shupatara Dinasan Dangyu De Shi So Sudab Gongdel Danchepa Kansachi Sangawa Nyaman Du Shi Tumbale. So he's summarizing. The three baskets of Buddhist teachings, the three great groups of the Buddhist teachings, which we'll talk about, I think, later, maybe the day after tomorrow, okay? And Tantra, those four great corners, right, of the carpet? Did we get into that? And the dice and all that? Oh, I think we're about to get there. We didn't talk about dice yet? No. All right. So those, you can call it the four pillars, maybe, or the four corners of the Buddhist teaching, okay? And we'll get into it. All of them together are one big happy recipe to get any particular person to enlightenment, okay? The whole, Rinpoche used to go off on this thing, Ken Rinpoche, my teacher, when he taught this. There's an old saying in the monastery. He would get a ball of, it's called khur in India. What's khur? It's brown sugar. It's a big lump of brown sugar. Like, if you can't afford white sugar in India, you use khur. and it's unprocessed sugar. And then he would say the teachings are like a big ball of gur, and you can bite it, you taste it from any direction, and it's still sweet. It's the same sweetness. So you can, he would constantly talk about, I think as a kid he must have stolen them or something. He did stuff like that. And then he'd say, it doesn't matter which side you lick it from, it tastes the same. Okay? Okay. Kansa Jitsangyawin. Shitumba. They are Shitumba. They're all components of one clever gadget. Okay? Shitumba Tsamme. Gelkendu Droa Chungse Tsamyang Mepa. And there's no way in which they are at the least bit contradictory, that they contradict each other at the least bit. Kowa te lungi temba tamche gyamedu toksul yin. So he's summarizing. When you see that every single Buddhist teaching is part of one big ball of sugar, then you have reached the understanding of the first of the four greatnesses of the Lamrim. Okay? Dedaki chucha unto Lami Kopong Topche Ki Gyu Migewa Chu Pong Tsu Tsutim So Kibu Chungudan. What's the Lamrim teaching? Well, first of all, it's teaching the path for people of least capacity, less capacity, lowest capacity. And it's teaching them how to just stay in a, how do you say, avoid a bad rebirth. Okay? Basically, just how to avoid something bad happening to you after you die. Okay, if you don't believe in rebirth, then you can just say something bad happening to you after you die. Okay, that we can put our minds around, right? That you can wrap your mind around. I mean, it's conceivable that something bad could happen to you after you die. Okay, don't call it rebirth, because then when you say rebirth, you get into, I don't believe that. You know, but everybody knows they're going to die and something might happen afterwards, right? Call it whatever. Topche Gigyu, Migewa Chupong, Migewa Chupong. The way to handle that situation is Migewa Chupong. Migewa Chu means the 10 harmful deeds, the 10 ways of hurting other people, right? Killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, slander, harsh words, idle gossip, craving, ill will, and wrong view. Okay? So these are 10 ways of hurting other people. Avoid them, and nothing bad will happen after you die. Okay. Tenshi jungdo tan lapa sumsok ngilek tarpa topchen nam kebu ding. Then we move up to people of medium capacity. They are studying subjects like Dian Shi, what's Dian Shi, Denba Shi? The Four Truths, which we've been through like twice already. Okay, the Four Truths. Suffering, why it's happening, that you can stop it, and then how you stop it. Okay, those four. Dian Shi, Jungdok. Jungdok means how you get into trouble and how you get out of trouble by using the four. Okay, so number one and number two are trouble. Number three and number four are how you get out of trouble. Okay? Jungdo. Dan Labasum. And the three trainings, which we'll talk about later. Okay? These are subjects for people of medium capacity. They not only prevent you from having something bad happen after you die, but they allow you to achieve nirvana. Okay? Your own personal freedom from suffering. Right? Which doesn't help other people. No, just that. Okay? Those people of medium capacity. Okay? Semke chindru sog ngelek tamche kemba topche nam kebu chembo. And then there's the teachings for people of great capacity, which you can say the desire to reach enlightenment, to help all beings, and the six activities, the six perfections that you undertake to help the people. Those are the subject of the people of greater capacity. Okay, that summarizes the whole book. The whole 10 years it just got summarized. Okay. Topje nam kebu chenpa lam du dune juja de tamje kansa chik sangyawe nyamlan du shi tumba le. So all of those are one huge, beautiful structure which allows any particular human being to achieve enlightenment. Doesn't matter who you are. Contained in those is everything you need. So to say that those three levels are somehow contradictory is a mistake, right? They build on each other.
고에토바 중세 참여 매파 코와 테 토페 담바 탐제 게메디 토페 추인.
So if you appreciate that fact, then you have comprehended the first greatness of the Lamrim teachings. And that in itself is a Lamrim. Okay? Be careful about the word Lamrim. Okay? Lamrim means a kind of book which teaches all the steps to enlightenment. But each step is also called a Lamrim. So when the Lama says Lamrim, you gotta ask them, are you talking about all the Lamrims together or are you talking about any particular Lamrim? Okay? All right.
Deyang drom chuki gyabu temba tamje trushi lamgi kyershepa nai lama.
Okay, so he quotes Drom Tunje. Who is Drom Tunje? We just spent a year on it. The great disciple of Lord Atisha. He's famous because he wasn't ordained. He's one of the greatest lamas of Tibet, and he was never ordained. He was a householder, like the beer-drinking businessman named Marpa. Okay, the great yogi, the great first yogi of Tibet, never got ordained. Okay, so these are famous for being lay people with normal jobs who helped the teachings in a fantastic way. Okay, so Dumten
Jay.
Then Dromton Jay once made a strange statement. Okay, you ready? You gotta listen to the statement because then we're gonna talk about it for like a week. Okay, maybe just a couple hours. Maybe half an hour. Anyway, Mercedes and Ningbo say I exaggerate, but I don't know what they're talking about. Only my Lama knows how to. This is hard. Only my Lama understands how all the teachings of the Buddha tie into the four corners. Only my Lama understands how all the teachings of the Buddhas tie into the four corners automatically. How's that? Okay. He said something like that. Then there was this big debate about what the heck was he talking about. All right.
Lama She Sumbatar Re De Did Satsik Tawiyin.
That famous quotation is almost like the Bible about the idea that all the teachings are internally consistent. All right? So that quotation is the one you pull out when you're talking about this idea that all the teachings fit together. Okay?
Dila trushi kebu sumdang lakche shila sumadang.
It has been said properly that the four corners he was mentioning are the three trainings. Sorry, cancel that. Are the steps on the path for the people of three different capacities? Okay? The steps on the path for people of three different capacities and the secret teachings. Okay? Tantra. So the four corners he was talking about were the teachings on for people of least capacity, medium capacity, and then highest capacity. We just had examples of teachings that those three kinds of capacities go through. The first was honoring the 10 virtues, right? Which would be an example of a teaching for people of first capacity. And then we had learning about the four truths, right? And the three trainings would be an example of a teaching for people of medium capacity. And then the six perfections, and what's the other example? Oh, bodhicitta. These are examples of teachings for people of higher capacity. So all of those ideas
plus Tantra are the four corners.
So then people have struggled with what did he mean by saying four corners. And then there's a tradition to explain this quotation with dice. Okay? Like when you throw a single die, right? When you throw one dice, it always ends up with four corners facing up, right? Like, unless you're a really special person and it's... Okay? I've heard about it, but... normally, it lands, it rolls around, and it settles, and then there's by definition four corners facing up, okay? Shijitar pankyang, it doesn't matter if you throw it over your shoulder or throw it ahead of you, or it doesn't matter what kind of twist you put on it, it's going to end up with four things coming out. Shilamde, lam chungatar. Lam lam chungwa means it's automatic, okay? It just always happens that way. Chungatar, miko rere nangdu yang, lam chaksama re dupe dun yin. Then some people said, of all the topics of the Lam Rim, okay? What are some topics of the Lam Rim? Don't do these 10 bad things. Study the four truths. Study the six perfections. These are topics of the Lam Rim. Then people have explained Dromchenje's statement as saying, in the way that a dice, no matter how you throw it, always comes up with four corners, then whatever part of the Lam Rim, whatever topic you look at, let's say the 10 virtues, right? Or the six perfections. Whatever topic you look at, the whole Buddhist teaching is in there somewhere. Okay? People have explained his statement as meaning, whichever single Lam Rim, whichever single step of the path you look at, you can find the entire path in there. Okay? Okay? It's got a mosquito up here. Some little mosquito up here. Okay. Samatare. Shedo yuma. Then yuma means, yuma is kind of a put down. It means, yeah, I mean, people, you could say that, okay? All right, like somebody says, blah, 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 and you say, you could say that. It's a put down, right? It means I don't believe it. Or obviously there's a better way to explain it. So yuma means, you could say that. Okay, then it's always followed by, but, okay, okay, yuma kyang, but, okay, daki kyam gun lama rinpoche, dakpo. Jambel Sundup, say Dakpo. Jambel Sundup. This is Pabongkor Rinpoche's own direct teacher. Okay, his own direct Lam Rim teacher. He had hundreds of teachers, but his own direct Lam Rim teacher was Jambel Sundup. Okay, from Dakpo. Then he said, my teacher says, okay, now you're going to get the right thing. Okay, Denkar Kang. Kangma Trushi Tabo Shigla Lingi Kerwatar. So in Tibet they don't have chairs. Okay? People don't have chairs. People have den. Den means asana. It's the translation of the word asana as den, okay? Asana, it comes directly meaning a place where you put your as. Okay? I'm not kidding. The word as comes from the same root, as. Asti, right? So it means to be seated, to be there. So the word is comes from that. Okay, I didn't make it up. So anyway, den means asana. Asana means a seat, a place where you sit. Right. So in Tibet, a den is a small sitting carpet. I don't know if you've seen them. They're about this big, and they weave them. And in the monastery, they ring the bell, you're supposed to go to debate, and you take your den. You roll it up and you throw it over your shoulder, and you're allowed to sit on that if it's a cold night and you're on the gravel or, you know, you're out in the, you're on flagstones which are freezing. So you're allowed to throw a den. So that's your chair. People carry them around. Everybody has their den, okay? by definition, on a weaving frame, a den is always what shape? It's always rectangular, okay? I mean, it has four corners. It always has four corners. Just the way it is. Got it? Like, nobody has to tell you, don't forget to put a fourth corner on your den. I don't know what would you say in America? You know, I mean, do you have a car? Yes. Nobody says how many wheels is on it, right? I mean, car, when you say car, normally it has four wheels, right? So you, when you say car, you're talking about a thing on four wheels. When you say den, you're talking about a thing with four corners. Okay, got it? So once you got a den, you got something with four corners. Once you got a car, you got something with four wheels. That's just the way it goes, right? Kervatar, Sungrab Gongdel. Sumrub Gondel Dan Chepe Jojo Kaza Chik Sangyawe Nyamnan Du Dune Lingi Kerwa La Serwa Yin. So the point, he says, is that how would you say? Every sentence in the Buddha's teachings fits somewhere in the Lama. Let's put it that way, okay? Every sentence in hundreds of thousands of scriptures has its place in the structure of the path to enlightenment, okay? When I hear Lama, I don't know, Rinpoche was teaching me one day, and I remember we were trying to fix a lawnmower, you know, and he said, go get the Lama for the lawnmower. And we had a filing cabinet, and that's where I kept all the, what do you call it? Manuals for each machine in the house, because I had to take them apart. Then he's, go get the lawn rim for the lawnmower, you know. And I come out, and he says, and it's like step one, unscrew this, step two. And it's all step one. It had these little circles with numbers in them, you know. And he said, look, perfect. This is a lawn rim, you know. Because that's, then I got this, my conception of the word lawn rim is that lawnmower manual. And it's because step one, step two, step three, step four, then the thing will start. You know, that's how you start the lawnmower. And that's what, see, for Rinpoche, that was a perfect lawn rim. He loved instruction manuals. He memorized the New Jersey driver's manual. Okay, he got 100 on the test. And he failed the driving test like 20 times. Anyway, that's a long story. I probably shouldn't talk about it. But we didn't bribe the guy. It was his idea. All the teachings of the Buddha from the first thing he spoke when he got enlightened under the tree to the highest tantric teachings, right? Every single sentence can be inserted somewhere in the manual. It has its place in the manual. From beginning to end, there's a place. There is nothing that doesn't fit into the structure. Okay? Okay? So really it's the opposite of what the other people said. Okay? I'm trying to wrap my own mind around it. They said what? Any single step you take out of the manual will include all the Buddhist teachings. And Pabok Rinpoche's teacher kind of said the opposite, you see? Every Buddhist teaching there is can be inserted into one of the... It is one of the paths of the Lama. Got it? Do you see how it's the opposite? All right? So other people were saying that a carpet has four corners is to say that any one subject of the Lama includes all Buddhist teachings. And his teacher said, no, it's the opposite. You can open any Buddhist book and read any sentence, no matter how high or low the book is. Like, you can take a logic book and take a sentence out of a logic book, and you can find a place for it in the structure of the instruction manual. It's there somewhere. There's a place where it belongs in the 1 to 100 instruction manual. Got it? Okay. So what was Dromden Jay saying? He was saying, my teacher's the only person that really appreciates this. Okay? My teacher's the only person who really appreciates this. My teacher, who is Lord Atishal, who wrote the first great Lamrim in Tibet, or for Tibetans, only my teacher grasps the fact that you could open up the Kangyur, right? You could open up 100,000 pages of scripture at any place, at any line. It's fun to do it, by the way. You know, someone teaches this, you should go open up some Buddhist book somewhere in English. Doesn't matter. And see where it fits into the Lamrim. My teacher understands how the four corners make a carpet. Meaning, my teacher, Lord Atisha, he's the only one who really gets it, that if you grasp the Lamrim, if you study the Lamrim, then you can go to any Buddhist book, hundreds of thousands, you can go to any page, read a single sentence, and you will grasp where it fits in the instruction manual. Got it? How it's part of the big plan. Okay? How it's part of the big plan. Okay? And only, he said only his teacher grasped that. We're still on the first of the four greatnesses, right? We're still discussing how no teaching contradicts any other teaching. Oh, we still have time. It's a lot easier to sit up there than to sit there, up here than to sit there. Like, all those years in the monastery, I was like, one day I'll be able to sit up there and, you know, other people will suffer listening to me. Okay. So there's hope, okay? Just keep plugging away. It's a lot more fun to talk than to sit there. Okay. He finished the first one. He's on to the second one. Ready? Nipa Sunra Malupa Damgatu Chava Chewani. I love this one. To me, this is my favorite one. Okay? So, there's a word called Kadampa. Say Kadampa. Kadampa. Kadampa has several meanings. Okay? The very first Tibetan Buddhists of our major lineage, of the Dalai Lama's lineage, right? The very first Tibetan Buddhists in the first century, the 10th century, in 1000 AD, the very first, which is Yuan Chao, okay? Yuan Chao. In those years, the very first Buddhists were called Kadampas. So there's a school called Kadampas. Then 400 years later, the teacher of the first Dalai Lama appeared, who is Jetsun Kapa, 1400s, roughly, okay? Then he revived the purity of those teachings. So sometimes when you say Kadampa, you are referring to Lord Atisha and that whole gang of lamas 1,000 years ago. Sometimes when you say Kadampa, you are referring to the new Kadampas, which is anybody after Jetsun Kapa. Jetsun Kapa and beyond is called the new Kadampas. Then the old Kadampas got to be called the old Kadampas. Okay? So sometimes you'll hear Kadamsar and Kadamning, meaning the new ones and the old ones. Then there's a lama in England, a Tibetan lama, who has taken the name Kadampa or new Kadampa for his group. So you should just know where the word comes from. Okay, so when you say Kadampa to a Tibetan, they get all, it's like saying the Christians in the catacombs, like 200 AD, right? They get all, how do you say? By the way, that was, what's that called? Liang Jin, Chao. Okay, during that empire, it's like when you say the Christians who hid out in the catacombs, when you say Kadampa to a Tibetan, they feel all warm in their heart. These are like the guys they were like the pioneers. Think of Kadampa as the pioneers, okay? They pioneered everything in Tibet. Tibet was a bunch of yak herders, crazy warriors. They defeated China at one point. They took Nepal. They were cuckoo. And then, you know, the first ones were really cool people, like you guys. You are Kadampas. Guadalajara, you are the Kadampas of Guadalajara, you know. They are bringing a whole new thing. And it's a little difficult, you know. So those are the Kadampas. So what does the word Kadampa mean, and why do they call them Kadampa? Ka means command or word. Word means the word of an enlightened being, the word of the Buddha. Ka means the word of the Buddha, okay? Or the command of a king is called a ka. Okay? You know the word ka in the word kangir, which is our scriptural, what do you call it? What's that word? Canon, okay? The surviving teachings of Lord Buddha on this planet, on paper, are called the kangir. The translated word, okay? Ka dampa means something cool. Dampa means damngak. Damngak means personal advice, okay? So your lama wants to teach you something. Like you've been, I don't know, you've been less than completely respectful or something like that. Then your lama says, let's have a talk, you know? And they take you in a room and they close the door, okay? Rinpoche, it wasn't always just talk. But anyway, then they sit you down and they say, you know, we got to have a heart-to-heart. It means a heart-to-heart. Dhamma means a heart-to-heart, okay? And, you know, and then they talk to you for 20 minutes and you feel really bad. And then they cheer you up a little bit. And then you're better for a couple of weeks and then you go back. And then they have another Dhamma with you, okay? So it's a heart-to-heart talk with your lama. So ka dampa means a person whose karma is so extraordinary that when they open a Buddhist book and read a single sentence, it seems like personal heart-to-heart advice that was inserted there by some omniscient being just for them. Okay? And it's a cool place to be at. It's a cool place to reach, okay? You open it. I mean, if you're a really good Kadampa, it gets tantric, okay? If you really get extraordinary Kadampa, which means you have kelwa, right? You have good karma. If you get really good karma, the whole world becomes Kadampa. You open up the Arizona Republic, a newspaper, and... Now I've been living with this thing for 40 years. All right, anyway. And you know, they have some article in there, you know. Where was it? I was reading a science fiction novel. I was having a personal problem. Now, I don't have any big personal problems, but I was having a little one. I don't even remember what it was. But I opened up this science fiction novel, and the first page is like the answer to my question, you know? And I'm like, that's so goddamn cool, you know? I can just open up a science fiction novel and what I need is right there, you know, in the first page of the chapter. And I just close it and I'm happy. I what I needed, I got. You know what I mean? That's Kadampa, okay? I love it. I think it's really cool. Tantra, by the way, first stage Tantra, which I'm not allowed to teach you with an honor of empowerment, but it means Kadampa, okay? It's like things get really Kadampa. You know, you open up anything. You turn on the radio and there's a message for you and you're like, oh wow, stop. You know, okay? Like the whole world seems to be conspiring to get you enlightened, which of course is impossible. So anyway, that's Kadampa, okay? Kadampa Shadwa means you get to the point where everything you read in the scriptures is a personal teaching. And this takes on a, what do you call it? In a group teaching, okay? There's a specific phenomenon which is a flavor of Kadampa, okay? In a group teaching, there's a kind of phenomenon that takes place which is Kadampa, okay? What do I mean? You're sitting with, I don't know, X number of other people, right? In a room. Big, let's say a big teaching, like 100 people or 200 people, you know? And then the teacher starts talking about your lama having a heart-to-heart with you. And then suddenly you think they're talking about you. Okay? Like you're like, oh man, he's mad at me for something. He wants to have a heart-to-heart. I knew it. You know, like Geshe Michael's mad at me. You know, Geshe Michael wants to get me in a room and tell me I'm doing something wrong. You know, like that's a kind of flavor of Kadampa. I'm just warning you. Okay? It sounds like either the teacher is talking about your personal situation. You know, how does he know I'm having that trouble with my girlfriend? You know, like how did he know? And why did he bring it up in the class? Okay? Like he's talking about me and my girlfriend right now, not about anybody else in the whole room. And then oftentimes it manifests as personal criticism. You know, he's criticizing me personally. He's taken a dig at me with his teaching this afternoon. You know? And what I wanted to tell you is this is a common phenomenon. It has occurred with every Buddhist disciple in history. The Lama is not out after you, but maybe he is. Or she is. Okay? But it's a blessing. Okay? It's a blessing. Right? The teacher's coming from you. Right? The teacher's coming from you. The teacher's coming from whatever you've done to other people in the last 6 months. Right? So everything you hear is going to be personal. Because it is personal. Because you're creating me to talk to you. Okay? So of course I'm going to say something about your current situation. Because you made me. Okay? And that's the way it works. And just embrace it. You see, don't fight it. You have certain seeds to say me, hear me say something. Right? Because of your seeds. Then whatever I say is relevant to you. It's supposed to be relevant to you. Because you created me with the same, from the same store, from the same place in your subconscious, you created me and your boyfriend. So if I talk about a problem that you're having with your boyfriend, that's sort of natural because him and me are coming from the same set of seeds in the same part of your heart chakra. Okay? And so just kind of think, oh, that's, yeah, that makes sense. In the Lam Rim, that started with Lord Atisha 1,000 years ago at the New Vision Age Center on Saturday afternoon, it makes sense that Geshe Michael should be criticizing me directly in some teaching which he's supposed to be teaching everybody. Okay? Got it? It's, of course, because I'm coming from the same seeds as your problems are. Okay? So, of course, when you understand that, you have reached the second level of an appreciation of how fantastic the Lam Rim is, okay? The second level, what's the first level? It's all big one, big ball of gur, yeah? Brown sugar. Buram in Tibetan, by the way. It's all big, one big ball of, doesn't matter where you bite it, you're going to get the same incredible sweetness, okay? That was cool thing number one about the Lam Rim. What was the second one? It was, what is the second one? Wherever you open it, it's going to talk to you personally. And there's a reason for that, because you're creating it. You're also creating this book as we go through it. The next page doesn't exist until I turn the page, because you make it. Got it? You create this book. There is no book. Right? I turn the page. What the next page says is coming from you. You write it line by line as we go. And you wrote it in Tibetan, which is amazing. Alright? No, really, okay? Your karma is creating the words that we see on the page when we turn it. Okay? Alright? So, you should, it's desirable, that you get to a point in your spiritual life where every single word you ever hear in your life is a message from a divine being. Okay? Because that's who you really are inside, and it's coming from you. Okay? It's very beautiful. That's the second level of understanding what the Lam Rim, what's going on with the Lam Rim. It is personal. It is a, what do you call that? Who's that guy, Sam? Killed people. What's his name? Son of Sam. I was in New York at the time. This guy, he heard voices. And then he would go to where young people would go to make out, and he would kill them, you know. And it was, of course, very popular in the newspapers because, you know, to kill somebody while they're making out is really mean. And he would say he heard voices, right? Like, after they caught him, he had this thing about he heard voices, you know. We're actually talking about something similar, but you're hearing beautiful voices. You're hearing voices telling you, you know, like, help the poor, or cook a good enchilada dinner for everybody. Or, you know, you're hearing these messages. And that's Kadampa. That's a real Kadampa. So Kadampa, in the end, it doesn't mean, does it, a sect that flourished in Tibet in 1000. And it doesn't mean post-Jetsonkapa Tibet. It means anybody who understands enough to listen to every song on the radio and listen to the lyrics, and they were meant for you. Okay, they're a message for you. That's why I play rock and roll all the time. All right, okay. I think that's a good place to stop. Okay, so listen to songs on the radio. And there's a reason why that song is playing right now for you. There's always a reason. And try to open yourself to be changed by those words in the song that you're hearing right now, okay? And that's Kadampa. And then you're a Kadampa, okay? It's not a sect and it's not a group of people from ancient Tibet. It's any person who understands that they are constantly getting messages from an enlightened realm, okay? And you are. So you're a Kadampa, okay? Okay? All right, let's dedicate the good karma, and then let us eat enchiladas. Okay. Jared, you ready? Bhukhi jushi metotam rira vinshi ninde gyanpadi sangye shindu nidhe Nuka namda shina chepasho Idam guru rana mandala kamhaya yami Dike wakan sanami shi tsozo shin sanami shi ne chu two things. Those of you who are serving dinner tonight, we're having a macaroni grill meeting after. If you don't know what that means, ask somebody else. Okay, but it you have to know before dinner starts. Okay, all right. Okay, then I want to tell you which homework you're responsible for. Okay, you didn't get out of it. Let me see. We're up to the first question on homework 2. Okay? So as of this class, the TA should be going through the first question on homework 2 and all 6 questions on homework 1. Okay? All right. Anything, Becky? Have a nice dinner. If you're one of the servers, I guess we all go somewhere. We all follow you. And then if you're just one of the eaters, which is nice, you can hang out in here or you can hang out anywhere that you want. And we'll let you... Maybe we'll ring the bell. Is that okay? We'll bang on the bell when dinner's ready for you. Okay. All right. Okay. Say again. I don't understand. Oh, yeah, we can do both. How's that? Okay. We'll call Jeff on the telephone. Where's Jeff? Yeah, we'll call you on the telephone. And then your responsibility is to bring every hungry person you can find.